Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Every day we wake up to the same ugly picture of a broken society eating each other up in a struggle for existence. While the bastards are sitting in their fancy office and fixing their damn fucking ties, and letting our relative rot dead on a filthy street, consuming the mind of the innocent Jew, making them a slave to religion and false rules. World poverty rises while every right is being taken away from us. That is a fucked up creation of mankind.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 173 of Getting It Out podcast. That was Eternal Struggle from Israel. The song was called Manifesto Point One, and it's off of their upcoming LP, Year of the Gun. It is due out June 4th. It's produced by Brian Mitz Daniels, who you may know from Madball. It is coming out via Upstate Records in the U.S. and Demons Run Amok Entertainment in the European market. Check that one out. I had Ori, the vocalist, on the podcast quite a few episodes ago, not too long ago. It was within the year, and we had a really cool conversation. He gave a totally different perspective than I for a lot of things, but this record is very strong. It's quite the debut LP, and I think you all will be as pleased with it as I am. You can go pre-order that right now at coldcutsmerch.com, where you will find plenty of other great stuff from Upstate Records, including the new Departed and the Marauder Minus Years record as well. Okay, now that you've been given your shopping list, why don't I fill you in on what's happening on this episode, though I suspect you already know. I've got an interview with Scott Krause and Daniel Austin of Tooth & Claw. They got a new record coming out on Good Fight Music. It's called Dream of Ascension. It's awesome. We're going to tell you all about it in this episode, and I'm sure you can't wait to hear it. So let's play the greatest crossover thrash band ever from New Jersey that exists in 2021, Hot Zone.
Damn, what's good, all you bitches and bitchettes? It's the illustrious Hot Zone, back at it again with another podcast intro. They said, oh, you want to do a podcast intro for the Getting It Out podcast? I said, oh, shit, I got to write a rap verse, don't I? They said, no, you don't got to write a rap verse. It's a hardcore podcast. I said, all right, I think I can maybe make that happen. Let's see what we can do. Kick it! Make family out of friends, make friends out of enemies! Peace to my family, make friends till they bury all the places we've been! We're never sitting it out, we be getting it in! Where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been! We're never sitting it out, we'll be getting it in! Where you getting it out? Get out!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so most importantly, let's talk about the NBA playoffs. They're coming up soon. I know you don't care, but I sure do. I'm a little disappointed in this season, only for one thing. My man Joel Embiid is not going to get the credit that he deserves. He's going to be second team on like everything, which doesn't make any sense when you look at the year he's had, but that's the way it shakes out. And that's just the way it is, all right? So he's going to have to go and win a championship to make up for all that, and which he will do. I mean, probably not, but I'm trying this whole optimism thing with Philadelphia sports instead of the pessimistic approach I usually take, which is the exact same approach I am taking with gettingitout.net. It is still on the horizon, I promise you. It's coming. I've seen it. I've mentioned this in past episodes. It's happening. We're gonna have a website one day, someday, over the rainbow, where only, I don't know, what happens with that song? You know, when I was a kid, like 12 or 13, maybe 14, Jesus, that seems so young now. Anyway, I used to sing this song whenever I would smoke pot. I would walk around with my friends in the woods, and I would sing this song by myself to myself, and it went, on the good ship, lollipop, where gum drops are raindrops, and the bonbons play, the candy canes say, walking in a winter wonderland. Now, I don't know how I still remember that song. Is that, am I combining songs there? I know that's several parts, or maybe it's just two parts of one song. I don't know, but that's the only way I remember that song. That's it. That's the only way. I don't know why I would ever remember that, but it always goes in that order, and that's the way it works. And that is what happens when you do drugs while you're still in puberty, which is a perfect segue to a couple of guys who I'm just assuming don't have any prepubescent pot stories to compete with mine. Scott Krause, who you may know from Earth Crisis, from Sect, from other things, and Daniel Alston, who you may know from Die Young, and probably something else, who are now playing in Tooth and Claw. So no need to delay. Let's just get into this right now. First, I want to play you a track by Tooth and Claw. This one has been out for a couple of weeks, and I bet you like it already, but you're going to hear it again. It's called Your Crucifixion. It's off Dreams of Ascension, and you're going to love it. Well, fellas, it is Tuesday night, right? It's Tuesday night in whatever time zone you're in, I assume, because it isn't mine.
I'm central. I think you guys are on the same one.
Yes, it's seven on my end. Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, sometimes I do these like this with phone. Sometimes I do them Skype. Sometimes they're with video. So being that like I know who you guys are, I know what you guys look like. So I would like for you to tell me what you think I look like.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I mean, you're in your mid-30s?
I am, yeah. Good start.
Do you have a shaved head?
Not because I want to.
Do you wear New Balance and cargo shorts?
Ah, man, I gave that look up a little while ago, but... Good for you. I did just go running in a pair of New Balance, so there is a pair of New Balance across the room, but they're running shoes, so it's a little different.
I want to guess you have a large assortment of assorted camouflage items in your closet.
I don't. I can't tell you. I gave that up way too long ago. Maybe I should get back into it. I don't know.
Yeah.
You guys are pretty close.
For some camo.
You're pretty close. Actually, what I would tell you guys that I look like is if you two had a baby. That's what I look like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? Well, what we have to announce to you is we are having a baby.
So yeah? Is it me? Am I adopted?
A total love child.
Yeah, it's going to look like exactly like you.
Well, this sounds like it's a good family already. I mean, we're all getting along great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scott and I are having a baby. That means everyone in the hardcore scene is going to hate it.
Oh, yeah. It'll be the most hated baby in the hardcore scene.
Well, is that maybe what Tooth and Claw is? Is Tooth and Claw a baby of yours, and that could be what's hated?
Yeah. In a way it is. Yeah.
Well,
I don't think people hate it yet, but you know, just give it a little time. Give it a little time.
Yeah. You got to give it a minute. Yeah. Not enough people have heard it yet. It's got to hit that certain mark of hatred, you know.
Well, I got to tell you guys, I've heard it, and oh boy, people are really going to hate it because it is awful.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Thank you.
We've been wondering, why don't people like, you know, it's like there's not enough buzz about this. It's like because not enough people hate it. That's why. And we're like, we need some haters. Hate.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't do anything. Yeah, we didn't do anything too wrong, I guess, so.
Oh, there's time.
Enough hate.
There's time. He'll fuck up. Don't worry. Before we really dive into one last important question, other than what you think I look like, do you guys know how to grow grass really well? Because we're trying to grow grass really well, and you guys are all, you know, environmentalist types. So what do I do to grow this grass better?
Yeah, you have to talk to the dad over there. Yeah, you got to keep it really wet. I've lived in a couple houses where we've had to, like, you know, strip the lawns out and completely regrow them. It's a constant watering process. Always has to be wet.
Okay, that's good to know.
But not too wet. It's not too wet, you know what I mean? It can't be soaked, but it's got to always be wet, though.
Can I get, like, a wet meter or something? Or is there something that can watch this for me? Because I can't be out there all day with the hose, Scott. You're asking a lot of me.
Ideally, you'd have time sprinklers, but, you know, I don't know what it's like up there. When I did it, I was in California, and every house you lived in had time sprinklers. So,
oh wow!
On the East Coast, though, that's a luxury. That's on the West Coast. That's just everybody has it, regardless of your social economic status. But here, it's a luxury item on the East Coast.
Oh no! See, I'm in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and the only luxury item that we get here is that if you want free manure, there's plenty of horse shit all over the street because the Amish just let their horses crap all over the place, and for some reason, don't feel obligated to pick it up.
Yeah, I used to live. I lived near Lancaster for about a year.
Oh no, where?
Like Downington, PA.
Yeah, absolutely. My sister lives over there.
Yeah. My wife and I lived there for about a year. She did an internship at the VA hospital there. So yeah, I know the area. I saw plenty of horses. Saw plenty of Amish.
They're a type of person, I can tell you that. Anyway.
It's true. I agree. They are a type of person.
They are. There's no dispute in that. All right. Enough of my normal bullshit. Let's talk about your bullshit. Let's talk about why I'm calling you guys, because you guys are both members of Tooth and Claw. You've got a new record coming out May 21st, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Good Fight Music. And it's you've had a couple songs out there. I think you got three quote unquote singles.
Yeah.
Right. So people are aware of what's coming. This isn't a total surprise, but as far as I know, this is a pretty new project. Tell me about where Tooth and Claw came from, because from what I understand, this is something that's new as like within a year or so.
It's been about a year. Yeah, a little over. I have had some of the songs for not super long, but a longer, probably maybe 2 years, a couple of them. And I had just been, kicking around the idea of trying to get something going. And I think once this whole COVID thing happened, it really kind of gave me no excuse to not do it anymore. And I had always had the idea, like, oh, I'll ask Daniel, at some point when things start to slow down with some of the other things, I'll ask Daniel if he wanted to do this thing with me. And then the COVID thing happened,
which I didn't know that.
No, he didn't know. I had never even brought it up. I just kept thinking, like, well, I'll ask him at some point. I'll get to it. And then, life just kept popping up, and I didn't. But then, COVID shut everything down, and I was presented with nothing but time. So, I reached out to him, and he can tell his version of the story from there, I suppose.
Go ahead.
Well, what's funny, and people don't really know this, I was an auditioner for Sect.
Okay.
Because Die Young and Catharsis did some shows when Catharsis kind of got back together. And Jimmy, who's also in Tooth and Claw, who plays in Catharsis still, he said him and Scott were working on this band that was going to be, kind of crusty, and me and a few people tried out for that band, and I think I made the final cut, but I got beat up by Chris Colahan, which is, there's no shame in that.
And that was the point. That was hearing what you did on there, that was the thing that made me be like, all right, there's something, these songs that I'm working on, those will, if Daniel will have them, I'd like to work with him there. So yeah, you're right. I forgot about that part of it. That was the catalyst that kind of led me to be like, well, I'll ask Daniel at some point.
Yeah. So, I mean, that started kind of this whole relationship with, me working. So I didn't get picked and Chris got picked, and I was booking for a company called State of Mind Touring. As a booking agent, just on the side. And the dude said, well, hey, you're not going to be in the band, but do you want to be our booking agent? And I was like, yeah, sure, man, that'd be fine, So I worked with them for, a year and a half, like when their first album came out and they started playing shows. I was their booking agent. And we Scott and I talked quite a bit back then, like we had met before, but we hadn't, talked regularly.
But it was in the air. It was in the air between what? You. There was chemistry.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's despite what everybody said about him, he's a funny guy. He's easy to get along with.
Despite my better attempts, to come off like a complete asshole. Yeah.
And then, Die Young and Sect did some shows together, so we got to hang out even more. And that was, it was always a cool vibe. And we hadn't spoken in a while because I had got out of the booking game. I put out a book in like 2018, and I didn't really have time for a side gig like that, because now like promoting my own stuff was eating up my time. And, at some point, we just kind of didn't talk so much. And so when COVID happened, I just got an email one day, hey man, I was thinking about doing this new band. And I was like, oh shit, I thought I missed my chance. This is cool. Sure.
I think I did tell you at one point during a sec conversation something about, like, hey, I have songs, man. At some point, I want to get them off the ground. I think I had mentioned it, but you may have very much been like, oh, whatever. You know, that's what people say to be nice or something. But no, it was real. I really did mean it.
I don't recall it. I'm not saying you didn't. We're both old and forget things. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, it was completely out of my mind, you know, and I thought, you know, I mean, let's be real. At your age, you're kind of crazy to start a new band. So,
yeah, for sure.
So, and me too. I mean, I'm not that much younger than you. So, like, I didn't ever expect to have another opportunity. I thought sex was going to be the opportunity, and I didn't get it, you know. And but I'm very happy about this one, because I mean, Dan, have you heard the record yet?
Yes, I've heard it all,
like the whole thing?
Several times. Yeah, specifically today.
Oh, cool.
No, but yeah, I've been listening to it. I've been listening to it for like a week or two, whenever it came over to me. But yeah,
okay,
yeah,
cool.
So I'm pretty familiar.
I mean, like it's different for stuff we've both done. So I'm excited about that. It's been a fun outlet just to try new things.
I'd also agree that it's different. And I'm curious, well, I mean, I know why it's different, but people who will be hearing this don't necessarily know why it's different yet. Can you explain what the difference, what you think the big differences are between Tooth and Claw and all the other shit that you guys have done?
Scott, you go first.
I think musically it certainly touches on things and places that I've been before.
Sure.
But it focuses a bit more on like a specific thing that I never really felt I accomplished all that well, which was just kind of like, you know, doing a good job of imparting like imagery just through the sound, you know, like having it be real, like at Gomorrah Season Envy, I guess, is the closest I ever got to it with Earth Crisis, where, you know, it's got just like a really dark vibe to it. And just the music invokes a feeling and emotion a little bit. Not that all music doesn't, but, you know, I'm trying to be a little bit more like ambient sounds and things like that with it, like soundtracky in a way, I guess. You know, it definitely fits like the whole album sonically fits a mold, as opposed to, like, I think a lot of the other stuff I've done, each song is its own kind of vibe to it. Whereas I'm with this record, I was trying to have an entire theme, you know, emotionally, like over the whole thing. I think that was the different perspective I was coming from with it, I suppose.
I got you.
Yeah, I mean, to sum that up, I would say what I tell people is that this is our European goth metal band.
Yeah, very much. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about... like, this part reminds me of, you know, At the Gates or Paradise Lost and bands like that. Those are the names that come up a lot when we talk about these songs, like those kinds of bands, you know, like gothic, just gothic metal, essentially.
Yeah. 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 That was definitely like the vibe that I was intending. And yeah, it is a better fit, I think, for Daniel too, because he understood all those references. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think a lot of people that I would have talked to either wouldn't have been down for those references when I said something like, hey man, I want to have like a real Paradise Lost kind of vibe. I think there's a lot of people from, you know, our world that would have been like, one, who is that? Or two, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. You know, but he was like, oh dude, I love Paradise Lost. And just bands of that world, My Dying Bride and stuff like that. So he, this is definitely a better fit, I think, than like a Sect. Cause I'm an odd man on Sect too. I don't really understand that the Sect world as much as I'm the weird guy in the band that everyone has to be like, dude, you're not really doing that right, you know, which is totally different and weird for me, you know, because usually I'm like driving the boat, you know, with stuff I do. But yeah, I take a real backseat role in Sect, so I'm the odd man out there too. So I think that this was definitely a better fit, I think, for Daniel.
Well, go ahead, Dan.
No, I agree. Like when he sent me the first couple songs, I was like, oh shit, I have so many ideas for, like, doing not only something that I felt comfortable doing, but something that I couldn't do in any other project I've done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. I think that's one of the cool things for both of us with this is, like, there's nobody telling us no, right? To maybe these things that we've both these territories we've both wanted to explore before, but we had, like, barriers that either other band members or just, like, a genre-specific thing that we're like, we can't really do that. But with this, it was like, man, we can do... You want to have some, like, chanty vocal part? Sure, let's do it. You know, you want to have, like, some keyboard synthy stuff? Let's do it. You know, like, nobody was telling us no, and we both were fans of that type of thing. So it worked out really well.
I agree. And I hear those influences that you're talking about, you know, clear as day. And so it took me a bit to get it, not get it. Say it took me a bit to hear it because I was listening to it wrong. I was listening to it like kind of half-ass. It was just on while I was working. And then I was able to, like, put on headphones and go for a run. And then I could hear the parts you're talking about, the eerie parts, which I, after hearing it that way, then I can hear them everywhere. But, you know, it was something I missed the first run, yeah. One or two runs through. And I totally hear the Paradise Lost, and I totally hear the My Dying Bride. It made me think then, I was like, Daniel, you have a very distinct vocals, you know, vocal delivery. Like, and I was like, damn. And I love him, but it made me go back. It made me go back to Dai Young, to hear what, like, did Dai Young sound like I remember it sounding? And I think it was the first time where I realized Dai Young was, there was a lot of straight up hardcore in Dai Young, and this is, there's a lot of just flat out metal in Tooth and Claw. And another metallic step up here with this that I didn't realize until I compared the two.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Dai Young between 2000, well, you know, when we started in 2002 and ended originally in 2009 was mostly a hardcore band with maybe a bit more abrasive vocals than a usual hardcore band would have.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when we came back, we started venturing more into metal, but people, I don't know, that stuff didn't really stick. It seems like people just loved when we were more like a straight up hardcore band. But as I've gotten older, and I don't mean to diss on hardcore. I just, my headspace for music has gotten more, strangely more, it's veered more towards death metal and folk music. you know, like really either like ambient headspaces or like really just stripped down raw lyrical content, you know? I feel like I kind of got to merge both those worlds into what I was trying, what I got to do with the songs Scott wrote, primarily here. And, hardcore, it doesn't really, I mean, I think we have a kind of an epic metal vibe going on in these songs, mm-hmm. but the songs are short and punchy like hardcore songs. So we're still mixing the best, I think, of both worlds, but it's definitely a departure from just hardcore.
For sure.
I think it's representative of both of our interests as we get older too, you know?
Yeah, and I see it that way as well. I wouldn't not call it a hardcore record or a hardcore band, but I would definitely call it metal. You know, it's definitely the first thing would be metal. Anyway, I get way off track with these with genre tags and shit and conversations. It happens all the time. So this is not a new thing where I'm like, well, I called this, but it was that, and it doesn't fucking matter. Yeah. When like right now, I'm sitting in front of I have my computer and all this shit set up on top of my record collection. And, you know, the whole first row is fucking Opeth records, you know, like, and then there's like, you know, so metal hardcore, I don't give a shit what it is as long as it sounds good. But
you can go down a rabbit hole with that, the nuances of every genre. And honestly, like, I've never really been able to understand it too much when people, you know, when things start breaking off into the subgenres of the subgenres, and it's not just old man talk. Like, I mean, when I was 15, I was like, I don't know, man. I mean, as soon as it went beyond like thrash metal, you know, was a genre, I was sort of like, I don't know. It all kind of falls under that umbrella. And now even if I write a part for a band and somebody's like, I don't know, that sounds kind of new metal, like, I don't know, what the hell's the difference? You know what I mean? Like, I
usually means it's awesome.
I can't tell you what makes something sound new metal and what, you know? Like, if I guess, like, Slipknot's like a new metal band, but if you listen to Slipknot, I mean, there's like straight up death metal parts, right? You know, yeah. So it's like, I mean, it's like, it's really hard to understand for me. Like, I always kind of chalk it up to people are, there's a bias there going on. And it's like, basically, that's when people try to diss something, they throw out a tag like, that's new metal. It's like, okay, you just don't like the part.
Right.
But let's be honest. I mean, there's, you know, there's bands like from, you know, from Deftones to Korn to Slipknot that are doing something. There's moments in there that aren't that different than like Morbid Angel, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't necessarily like a catch all for bad. Right. Because it's just, I don't know. Yeah. The genre thing, it gets, you could have an entire like podcast about that and never ever.
And you know, the people that care most about that are just hardcore kids.
That's true. That's very, very true.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Yeah.
And metal kind of is a free forum, you know? Like metal, people that get into metal, they don't really care what kind of metal. They just care if it speaks to them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's a great point.
You know, to limit yourself to like I only you know like grindcore or I only like you know death metal or I've never knew anybody that only liked one of those genres of music. They all kind of just fall under the metal category to me, you know. But and it's I like going back to what Daniel was kind of saying about Die Young and you know it progressing. I think the way I've always kind of looked at it is like hardcore kids like it when I think the bands aren't really pulling off what they're attempting to pull off. There's that like phase where like, you know, when we were 15 or 16 or 17, we were like, we wanted to be straight up metal band, you know, like the bands I was in. I thought, I didn't realize that we sounded hardcore, right? But because we weren't really pulling off what I wanted to. When I look back in hindsight, that's not really what we wanted to sound like or what we thought we sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now when you look back, you're like, oh, there's, you know, and I don't say this in a negative way, but there's an immaturity to it. And then as you kind of progress and mature and you start accomplishing sonically what you wanted to, that's when there's like a shift and people are like, oh, wait, they've kind of matured. They've become like a metal band. So they're like with hardcore, there is like a people kind of like the immature in between phase of I think a lot of bands, you know, that they don't like it when you've actually accomplished I think what you were trying to. They like it when you were on your way there, which is I like bands like that too, you know, because there's something magical about that in between, you know. That's
yeah,
when you kind of did,
you know,
something original. Yeah, there's something, yeah, where you did something somewhat original in there, you know, because we just wanted to be, you know, like when I was younger, the bands we just wanted to be Slayer, we wanted to be Carcass, or we wanted to be, but we weren't pulling that off at all, but we were doing something, ended up being kind of our own, you know. So I think that's where that comes into play a little bit. And then when you come back and you're a little bit more mature and you're a little bit more well versed as like a player and understand how to pull off the things you wanted to, that's when all of a sudden you've crossed that line where you're not that middle ground anymore.
That's yeah, like the most intelligent thing anybody's ever said about genres as far as this podcast goes. Way to go.
Well, I popped my own collar. Thank you very much.
God, you make me feel stupid. I was worried about that with talking to you guys because when I talk to people who know what they're talking about, I always worry that they're going to make me sound stupid and make me look stupid. And you're doing a good job of that, so I appreciate it. That's good for me. That's good for this. So don't worry.
I have no idea what I'm talking about. You can ask anybody around me. I will talk. I will talk, but it doesn't mean I have any idea what I'm talking about.
You just have to say it confidently. That's all. That's all. You know.
Yeah.
Well, so you guys, so we mentioned, like, obviously you've both been a part of several projects and well-known ones at that. When I asked a friend of mine, who's a very big Earth Crisis fan, if he had heard Tooth and Claw yet, he said, I think this is the exact quote. Yes, pre-ordered already. Scott Krause could fart on a guitar and I'd buy it. So.
Shit, I appreciate that. Now that kind of thing I don't hear too much. It's more like what Daniel was telling me. Hey, my friend told me he thought you were an asshole for 10 years because of how you acted on your DVD. All right. Now that I'm used to hearing, but I prefer what you just said any day of the week. So thank you.
Well, I think you should look into opening an OnlyFans account if that's the way things are out there for you.
You know, man, whatever it takes. I'm not opposed to that. I'm not above it in any way. I've been talking to friends about trying to get them to open OnlyFans. Maybe you're right. Maybe I should open an OnlyFans.
It's the universe.
I'll give it a go.
Yeah, it's talking back to you. No, it's okay. So there's a lot going on. Well, you mentioned that musically this album is pretty cohesive. It all sounds like it belongs together. Daniel, for lyrically, did you write all the lyrics to this? And is that the same thing for you lyrically? Are you following a theme song to song, or is this just one song to the other?
Well, there was a general premise with how these lyrics should be written, because like when I auditioned for Sect, it was actually requested that I write something like Path of Resistance, but like more vegan. Mm-hmm. You know, so just like ultra vegan militant, and you know, that's not like a very emotional or spiritual place to write lyrics from. It's very like, you know, righteous, you know?
Yeah.
And whereas this was meant to be more introspective, symbolic, metaphorical, give the listener and the reader leeway to make their own meaning of it, which I don't think either of us have had the opportunity to do in a band before. Right, Scott?
No.
We've always been in bands proclaiming things.
We're telling you what to think, as opposed to asking.
Yeah, we've always been telling people what to think. That's why people hate it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're telling you how to live your life, and now we're right. Asking you to, I don't know, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you think?
It's like a midlife crisis.
When we came up with this one, it was like, yeah, these songs, man, like they really, I mean, there's a lot of, musically, there's a lot of layers, there's a lot of depth, kind of like you're explaining when you went running and then you heard the other layers. Mm-hmm. And you got a new perspective of what it's supposed to feel like. Right.
Right.
And that's what I like about these songs. It's like, I usually sit with a track Scott sends me. I mean, sometimes I come up with all the lyrics in a night. Sometimes it takes me a few weeks to nail them. But I tried to follow the feeling, since, you know, we're not trying to dictate how people live their lives in this band, which I think some of our like the people that have followed us in Earth Crisis, Die Young, Sect, Path of Resistance, they might be disappointed that we're not.
People are expecting to be told what to do. And we're like, yeah, we're showing them, you know, like strange videos and, you know.
Well, they should know what to do by now. You guys have been clear. They should know by now.
We know what to do for ourselves by now. We don't.
It's like you're empty nesters. You taught them everything you can teach them. Now you want to tell.
I mean, dude, we laid out the perfect path of life for these people. We don't need to keep doing that. I mean, we've already told them exactly what they need to do to have a perfect life. Why do they want more? What else do they want?
Now we basically want them to go into the mire of their own soul and question what the hell they're doing with their lives.
Yeah, we want them to really think
for themselves.
Joke's on you, motherfucker. Yeah.
Now it's time to think for yourselves and figure it out.
Now we want you to go, is this really the right thing? Like, is this really where my soul should be headed? Is this my spiritual path?
It's like go back to the Amish. It's like a straight edge vegan Rumspringa.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay, so you guys,
ultimately it was kind of just like, these songs are meant to be explorations, and when I think about writing lyrics and that kind of concept, the first band I thought of was like Neurosis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very archetypal, symbolic. You can make your own meaning of it. And really the song, the music gives you a feeling. And I wanted the lyrics and the vocals to complement the feeling. So yeah.
I think you did,
even though
I think
like,
you did a great job. Yeah,
cool.
You really did that well.
So.
Because yeah, when I would get the stuff, I mean, like obviously sitting there listening to a line over and over again, I really got to know the lyrics quite well, and it really did. Like you did a really good job of interpreting the vibe that I was putting out there.
Yeah, no, I'll third that. So with you guys, like I know you explained how you two got involved here. How did the other two members, Cameron and Jimmy, get involved? How did you end up adding people from the Carolinas?
That's where I live.
You're hard to pin down. Damn it, Scott. You're hard to pin down. It's New York. It's California. Yeah. It's Downington. Now it's the Carolinas. I can't keep track.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife went to grad school, so I've been all over the country for a period for like 10 years. But I've been here for a while. I've been outside of Raleigh for about 8 years now. So every band that I do is, and I think Daniel has this issue too, where it's just people spread out all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew already, obviously, Daniel was going to be in another state. So ideally, I'd like to have people that are close so there could be, you know, practice situations, because that's always, it's just such a nightmare with people living all over. You got to fly people in, and you know, that first show, if you play a weekend, it always is a little bit like, I don't know, did we practice enough kind of thing, you know? So the dream over the last few years has been like, oh, wouldn't it be great to have semi-local people? And Jimmy lives in town with me, and I know him very well, and we play in bands together, and so he was a no-brainer to see if he wanted to be involved. And Cameron had actually filled in for Sect on a European tour. And I knew he was like great, easygoing guy, awesome drummer. It was sort of like, you know, no-brainer. I had sort of had this loose blueprint in my mind of like, okay, well, I'll ask these people someday if they want to do this, you know? And luckily it didn't take... I kind of assumed that somebody would say, ah, no, I'm not into it. But luckily enough, everybody I asked was like, yeah, sure, like right off the bat. So it was pretty easy, to be honest.
Well, good.
And the cool thing is, I'm in Texas, but my dad lives in North Carolina. So whenever the band has had a photo shoot or a video shoot, I've just flown out and visited my dad.
It is nice. There's a tie there, so you know, it actually it makes it a little bit easier than if you were just coming to a random place. So
that makes a lot more sense.
The idea was like, okay, like, you know, when the day comes and you know, knock on some wood there, that, you know, we can play shows, it'll be that much easier with only like one person having to fly in.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot more sense. I wasn't aware of that. It's so common now for bands to have members from all over the place. So it wouldn't have been crazy if you were wherever you're at, and you know, whatever. But I got distracted there a little bit because I heard what do they call them, a flock of geese. There's a flock of geese in somebody's background. Okay.
Yes.
And
there was geese flying over my head.
Yeah.
I'm in my backyard.
And I know you guys love animals. I know, you know, all that. But can we make an exception here?
I would have muted it, because I've muted a couple of the geese when they flew over already. I'm telling you, I got two kids, so it's either the geese or you go inside and this kid's screaming at each other like playing Fortnite and stuff.
You know, so here's the thing though.
And one or the other.
Yeah, but I'm used to. I got a geese problem and a kid problem here too, so I understand. It's all right.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
But okay, so tell me. Yeah, we talked about the theme of the sound of the record, but there's some interesting cover art on the album here. What the hell is happening here, and who did this?
that's a fellow Pennsylvania. What do you call people who live in Pennsylvania? Pennsylvanian?
Attractive.
Right?
You just call them attractive.
Pennsylvanian? Yeah. No, that's Jeremy Hush, you know. He's an artist from Philadelphia. And he's somebody Scott brought to me. My attention.
Yeah, I knew him. I had become familiar with him from... my a friend of mine does a record label where he does like a lot of spoken word horror stuff, and it's called Kadabra Records, and Jeremy Hush does a lot of the artwork for his stuff. So I had seen through my friend's label Jeremy Hush's art.
Oh, okay. It's interesting. I mean, I see a man with another man's head. I assume it's another man's head. Nobody ever identifies that, right? But if that was a woman's head, we'd have a problem.
I mean, it would be understandable.
It's open to
I mean, people would be like, somebody finally said it.
Yeah.
That's, you're walking on thin ice there.
Yeah, I'm trying to get those haters on, after the band.
Yeah, I'm trying to get those hate likes. Yeah.
Well,
so you know, like this album conceptually is about, you know, it's called Dream of Ascension, and it's really kind of a take on existential ideas like Camus, like Albert Camus, Myth of Sisyphus. And, you know, the actual myth of Sisyphus.
Do I?
Yeah.
No, I don't. No.
Okay. Well, it's an essay Camus wrote, and he says basically the main philosophical question that people should think about is whether or not they should kill themselves. And because like Sisyphus, we just roll the boulder up the mountain our whole lives, and it rolls back down and we have to roll it back up. So you've got like a warrior guy who's been through hell, and he's looking up the sky after winning the war, and he's just kind of like, what's next? And it doesn't look like whatever's next is going to be great for him, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Cover.
No.
So, I actually tried to write life-affirming lyrics in this project, whereas Die Young, just by the name, I mean, like, it wasn't a lot of life-affirming stuff. I think a lot of people didn't like the band because it's like, damn, that shit's gloomy, you know? Like, whereas this band is more about, like, the primal struggle of existence, or, like, trying to find the reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going, you know? And we wanted, like, you know, something that looked metal, something that could kind of encapsulate that feeling of struggle, and there might not be a better horizon. In a sense, it's everything's uncertain, you know, the pain of uncertainty, I guess, is kind of what I wanted to capture with that cover art. And I don't know, you know, but again, it's, I like to leave it open to people's interpretation. So if they look at it and see something else, I think that's cool too.
It's a very, very telling to, you know, very speaks to the times as well, right? I mean, everyone should be able to, you know, regardless of what music genre you're in, you're involved in or listen to, like, you should be able to appreciate that theme, right? In current times right now, you know, people are always asking those questions to everybody. I'm sure we've all been faced with them, like, you know, when are you going to play shows again? When are you going to do this again? And it's the uncertainty. No one can give an answer to any of these things now, right? It's like we're all living in this, and it makes everybody feel uncomfortable. It's making everybody feel crazy. You know, you can't answer anything definitively. Everything's like, I don't know. Maybe, I hope, you know. A lot of people have just given up even wanting to talk about things like that. So, yeah, I think that idea really resonates, especially right now.
Well, you know who hasn't given up? Me. So, how do you guys feel about the shows that have been happening lately? And if you could play stuff right now, would you?
I personally am not ready to play, I don't think, just yet, but I'm getting pretty close to it. And I wouldn't condemn anything anyone's done. I don't think I'm surprised at anyone playing a show. And I also expected, and I think anybody that played a show recently should have expected backlash, because no matter what, even if it's perfectly safe, even if nothing bad happens from the show, you're the first ones back, right? Mm-hmm. So people are going to point fingers and throw stones. That was bound to happen. I don't take issue with anyone choosing to play a show right now, especially when it's people that are like career musicians and, you know, things like that, especially from like our world, who were not really paying the bills in the first place, and everything was shut down on them. You know, I mean, there is a livelihood factor there that they got to get back to the grind. You know, I would take some issue with the justifications for why people are saying they played the show, but it's personal. You know, that's just like my personal opinion, and I don't fault anybody for doing what they did. I mean, I'm not ready to do it, but I can't. Everyone else has different thresholds when it comes to this kind of thing, right? I mean, I'm watching it happen in my neighborhood, right? Like, some parents are sending their kids back to school while I'm not ready to send my kid back to school. But you're seeing, you know, it's staggered throughout the neighborhood. Everyone has a different threshold and a different idea of when something's safe and when something's not. And who am I to be the police and tell people, you shouldn't be sending your kid back to school yet? And I feel like the shows is the same thing. You know, people waited. It's been a long period of time, and I'm surprised, honestly, that people waited this long to play shows. I kind of expected this to be happening a lot sooner.
Yeah, people have been losing their minds, you know. I've had two friends that were in prominent bands in Texas this past year who died. And I think if they could have played shows, they would still be here, you know. And I'm not saying that we should have had shows all this time. But, you know, for those of us who we don't go to church, I mean, this kind of mass gathering is the connection we need to recharge ourselves. And people are going to get hurt either way, whether they get sick from infecting each other in person or whether they're stuck at home wanting to kill themselves because they're not around people getting recharged with that human energy, you know. And
that's my thing. I don't think you can take issue with somebody wanting to do the shows, and we all knew they were going to come back, you know. But I think some of the places I feel like people stepped in it a little bit was some of these real loose, weird justifications as to why they did it. Instead of just leaving it at, hey, we were ready, we wanted to. It started kind of being like political justifications, which is like at that point I'm like, well, that's kind of a cop out. Everyone just wanted to play a show, right? This wasn't some sort of statement, right?
Right.
You know,
I mean,
like that's the part. That's the part of it where I'm like, all right, too far. You know, this wasn't some sort of political stance. It was just everybody wanted to play a show. Leave it at that. And I don't think too many people can take too much issue with that, really. But when you start getting into the political justification aspect of it and stuff, it's like, don't. That's the only part I have.
It's just annoying. More than anything, it's just annoying.
That's the only thing I could criticize is that aspect of it. But yeah, playing a show, I mean, it's going to happen. I mean, whether you're ready for it or not, just like I wasn't ready for everyone in my neighborhood to start sending their kids back to school. I mean, my kids play with these kids, and all of a sudden that ups my chances of exposure and all that. But that's how the world was, right? So I had no choice but to just roll with the punches when that happened. And I feel like shows and things reopening is going to be the same thing. Like there's going to be people that aren't ready. And sadly, you live in this world and things are going to reopen and you're just going to have to roll with the punches.
Yeah. I think I'm with the whole, let people do what they want to do.
Months and degrees, really.
Yeah.
You know, like I almost kind of feel like what's the difference right now versus Fest in September? Like Giant Fest that people are having in September.
Right.
In California and New York, like, which are like the big hot spots, you know, it's like, it's not that much of a difference really in terms of risk.
No, again, I think a lot of the thing people took issue with was some of the alleged political justifications as to why it happened, as if it was some sort of protest or, you know, things like that. I think that's where people really started getting upset. I think if people just left it at the fact that, hey, we wanted to play a show, I think that would have been, people wouldn't have had much to say, because, I mean, everyone's dealing with this on some level. Where, like I said, you're watching people reach a threshold that you haven't reached yet. Everyone understands that by this point. If they don't, they should. But yeah, when you start making these weird, like, you know, we did it as a stance, you know, kind of thing. Come on, that wasn't what this is about, you know.
Well, that's totally fair points, and I like what you're saying. I think I agree with everything you're saying as well. But speaking of to move on to something else, speaking of just, I don't know, people's opinions and reactions. We talked a little bit about what the reaction has been so far with the songs you guys have put out. And so far it's been good because, well, at least you haven't heard anything bad, right? But when you get set to release this record in, what, 20 days, and you can't at this point...
Like 10.
10. That's math. That's how it works. Yeah.
Yeah.
when you can't tour, when you can't do anything else, what are you most looking forward to with the whole release of Dream of Ascension? Is because and do you and I'll throw this on here too. Do you anticipate Tooth and Claw to be a band that does tour when the time is when you can?
I think Daniel and I have talked about it, and I think we're pretty limited in our capabilities. Like I think shows absolutely. Tour, you know, modern day tour is different than I think what Daniel and I know of is the word tour. So like,
right.
I mean, I see bands always announce like, oh, they're doing a tour and it's, you know, five shows. I'm like, oh, well, shit, I still tour then, you know, I didn't think I did, but you know, but yeah, when you're only doing little runs, like that's totally possible. But we want to, absolutely. I mean, I'd love to play these songs live. And I think that's the most frustrating thing for me is like, by this point, you know, when you're doing a record and you're doing a band, I mean, you'll have got together and hashed them out in a room and you know what that vibe is like. And we're still kind of yet to have done that. And I'm excited to do it because I have high expectations of what that will be like when we're all in the room together. But yeah, it's a little, it takes the wind out of your sails a little bit to know that you haven't done that and not know when you're going to be able to do that. So, I mean, we're just kind of waiting, you know, to see when our opportunities are there for us to do it and when we're all comfortable doing it too. You know, that's a big part of it. You know, like, I don't really know where like guys like Cameron and Jimmy's heads are at as far as their comfort level. Like would they be ready to play shows in September? Well, I think it'll just depend on what the world looks like at that moment. Cause I think we've all realized by now, like just cause it looks like you're headed out of the woods doesn't necessarily mean you're headed out of the woods. So, 3 months from now, it could be a completely different world. So it's hard to say. But I think we're all looking forward to the idea that we get to do that when we get to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think for now, I just want people to be able to listen to it and try to get acquainted with it. I hope that it captures people's attention enough to where they actually get to delve into it and try to understand it or make some meanings for the songs themselves. So I think they're very meaningful songs. If you connect with them and try to interpret them, you know? So for now I'm happy to talk about it. Like, you know, this is cool. And, you know, I mean, it's exciting to release something. I think this is the first time I've ever released something and haven't been able to go out and play to support it. And that's weird.
Yeah.
But,
or just even have that enjoyment of getting together in the room and running through the songs and, you know, getting that feeling. Like that part of it I really miss. I mean, I think I'll be happy with just a practice. I'd be like, all right, cool. We did it. You know?
Yeah.
We did it. But I think also like what you said, yeah, people listening to it. I think like kind of what we've been talking about, I think the goal and what I hope we pulled off is it's something that, you know, a lot of hardcore bands, it's like 90% of the deal is live, right? It's like, it's just all a vehicle to get you to that live show. But I hope, and what the intention was that this is actually like something you can sit down and enjoy listening to as well. It's not just the idea of, I can't wait to see this live. It's, oh, I actually enjoy listening to this. You know, like you mentioned, it has layers to it. Things I didn't catch maybe the first or two times through, I figured out the third time through, you know? So that's the hope for me that it's actually something that is enjoyable to listen to and not just maybe a vehicle for like a live show. So kids can, you know, jump on each other, which I hope that happens too. But, you know, I hope it's a little more.
This is the first record, like we were saying before, that we're not like proclaiming our beliefs. And I'm interested to see, I mean, it's kind of an experiment, like how will people interpret this? Like what meanings will they make for it? You know, cause once they have it, it's theirs. It's not ours anymore. You know?
Yeah.
We're not really very clear about what we are saying with this band. It's because I want people to make their own meanings for it.
That was the idea. I mean, that's absolutely what we discussed. You know, was let's have something. You know, let's do something different than you know, we've already talked to people about animal rights and straight edge, and not that there's not room for that, especially in this climate still. You know, like, you know, race issues and things like that. I mean, it's super important, and I hope bands continue to talk about it, and I will be in bands that continue to talk about it. But I think with this, it was just a different avenue. We wanted to try something different, and I'm super proud of it. I feel like we really kind of both put ourselves out there and did something different that hit the mark. I mean, I think we landed on exactly kind of what I hoped it would be. So,
well, I have to agree again. I feel like I've agreed with everything you guys said. I'm not just saying that to pander. I actually agree with you.
as we mentioned before, we've already told people how to live their lives. So, I mean, of course you would agree with me. we've been correct thus far in our 46 years of life.
I don't know, guys. I just finished a beer in this conversation, so I might have.
Wait. Hold on.
I was never in the flock, but I'm pretty but close to it.
Yeah, all right. We didn't get you all the way. All right.
No. I've been led astray as a youth.
Here's the thing. I mean, here's the perfect thing. Well, we have the perfect band for you. It's called Tooth and Claw. Right? It's not telling you that you're a bad person, right? So
that's right. Appreciate the risk, man.
I hope others will as well, because I think it deserves the appreciation. Guys, I really like this album, and I really like having this conversation with you. And there was a bunch of other silly jokes and things I was going to say, and I can't remember them at this point. It might be that beer. See, but I don't know. Is there any last things you want to touch on Tooth and Claw and Dream of Ascension or anything before we end this one out?
I think I've probably dug a deep enough hole for myself as it is. Thank you. I'll bow out briefly at this point.
Yeah, it comes out May 21st and through Good Fight Music. And, we're not saying anything definitive about the vinyl. People have been asking about the vinyl, but we heard that it will be pretty much on time.
I didn't even see that there was a vinyl option. Where's that at?
Well, yeah, the vinyl isn't up for pre-order right now because, you know, it's been a nightmare for a lot of labels.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
To try to... So Good Fight, you know, they had a lot of experience where they finally kind of figured doing a pre-order for vinyl was useless. Mm-hmm. So they didn't want to be like, yeah, we think it's coming out this day, but now you got to wait 4 more months, you know? They just said, once they ship out the door and we know when we'll have them, that's when we're going to put them up on the, in the web store. But, that day will be pretty soon. So that's good news.
It's looking in a positive direction as far as vinyl goes.
Yeah. It's going to be super pretty.
Yeah.
I'd expect you. I'd expect nothing less. But you know, that's a good point with the vinyl. And now that you're saying that, I think I remember maybe it was Carl saying something about that specifically for your record. And I don't know. Yeah, it's probably a smart move. I've got pre-orders that I've been waiting on for. I don't even know. I don't know what I ordered on vinyl anymore.
People forget.
Yeah,
they're like, shit, it's just money down the toilet.
Yeah, but it will.
It's a nightmare. Yeah, it's a nightmare for bands too, because you know, you're like, as the band, you're constantly getting the direct line to the purchaser, mm-hmm. and so they're just constantly hitting you up, being like, dude, I pre-ordered last month, and I just went to the store and I found it there. You know, I want to cancel my pre-order, and you're like, dude, I have nothing to do. Like, I have nothing to do with this. You know, so I appreciated Good Fight's approach, where they were just like, we're not gonna burden you with it. We're not gonna burden ourselves with it. When the vinyl's up, we'll just say, hey, vinyl's up today, you know, instead of like this anticipation. And because the vinyl delays were real a couple years ago, and with all this stuff, it's the pandemic and whatnot, it's gotten even worse. So
Hey, well, you guys have figured that. Well, you and your group have figured out a good way around it, or at least to deal with it. And I think that's pretty cool. Everybody's figuring out their own shit and making sense of it, especially. I don't know. It's like we mentioned several times, like I talk about all the time on this podcast, is that this is a weird era, and whatever works, and this Dream of Ascension works. I can tell you that. How about that? Well, let's end it on that. Let's end it on how good this record is, and how great you guys have been in this conversation. I appreciate you guys taking the time, and not saying mean things to me for once.
Dude, thanks. Yeah, it's been fun. This is actually Daniel and my first tag team podcast, so it's been a fun one.
With your firstborn too.
Yeah.
A lot of firsts. It's a momentous time in our lives.
Yeah, it's a celebrate. All right, guys. Have a good night.
All right, buddy, you
thank
too,
you.
Man. Take care.
All right, later.
Bye.
So there you have it. That was my conversation with Daniel and Scott of Tooth and Claw. Their debut LP, Dream of Ascension, comes out May 21st through Good Fight Music. You heard the information there at the end about ordering vinyl specifically, but you can pre-order CDs and merch through the internet. How about that? How about you go figure out how to do it? You can do it. I believe in you. You found this. The song you just heard was 70 times 7. And I can't do that math, so you're going to have to do it for yourself.
How about instead you do something for me and go to patreon.com/gettingitoutpodcast and sign up for one of the Patreon tiers. You can get something for free there as long as you give me some money. It's a sweet deal for everyone. Don't think about it too much. Just think about how much you enjoy this show and what I got to offer. You can also go to @getting_it_out_podcast on Instagram and follow me there, or facebook.com/gettingitoutpodcast. There's a Twitter @gettingitoutpod. Nothing happens there, but it's there. I think that's it as far as the business, and we might as well wrap up this episode here. I got some cool ones lined up. They're already recorded and in the bag, and a couple cool ones to come. If you got something you want to hear, if you got somebody you think I should have on the show, let me know. I'm always open to those ideas. Email me, dan@gettingitout.net. If you want to send in your music, you want it played on the podcast, send it to dan@gettingitout.net. I'm going to end this episode with a track that was sent to me at my email, which is dan@gettingitout.net. This song is called COF, and it's from Calgary-based metalcore band From the Flame and their debut album, Zero Tonin. Zero Tonin is out now and available everywhere, so check out From the Flame and go find the rest of the record if you like what you hear. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.